This week's CD is on Parshas Matos, and we are going to focus our shiur on chapter 31, verse number 48. But before we do that, we are going to explain what is happening in the Parsha. In the Parsha, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go fight against Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu chooses 1,000 people of each tribe to fight against Midian, and they come back victorious, and they come back with all the spoils of war. Right afterwards, Elazar HaKohen tells the people the laws of kashering the vessels that the people brought from Midian, and also the laws that any time you buy a vessel or get a vessel from a non-Jew, that you have to take that vessel to the mikveh in order to purify it and bring it up in sanctity to be able to use it. After that, the Torah goes into a long description how they divided the spoils of war. And then we get to verse number 48, where the verse says, Vayikrevu el Moshe pekudim asher alfei atzava, that they approached Moshe Rabbeinu, those in charge to the thousands of the army, Sore alofim, those in charge of 1,000, Sore ameos, and those in charge of 100, and Vayoimru el Moshe, and they told to Moshe Rabbeinu, Avodecho nosu es roish ansham nechoma shabiodeinu, that your servants took a census of the people that went to war under our command, veloi nifkad mimenu ish, and there wasn't missing a single person from them. Therefore, vanakrev es korban Hashem, we are going to bring the offering of Hashem, ish asher motzach rizav, every person that found a vessel of gold, Etzado, anklet, the tzamit, and a bracelet, tabaz, a ring, ogil, an earring, the chumos, and a clasp. Really, chumos is a jewelry of a specific place. Lachapra nafshesenu, to atone for our souls, lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. The Ramban explains that the reason why they wanted to bring an offering to Hashem is because lo nifkad mimenu ish, no man was missing, and the Ramban takes it literally, that nobody died in the war against Midian, and therefore, because nobody died, they decided to bring an offering in order to atone the fact that Hashem saved them from death, and nobody died in the war. The only problem that we have against this Ramban is that we had previous war, we had the war of Sichon and Oik, and nobody died in those wars. As a matter of fact, the Ramban himself writes down in Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, that any time there was a Milchemes Mitzvah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody died. Then the question is, why didn't they bring an offering, a thanksgiving to Hashem after those wars? Why only after this war, after the war of Midian, they decide to bring an offering to Hashem for the fact that nobody died in the war? Sefer Shemiroch answers this question based on the Ramban's answer, that the Ramban answers a very strong question in this week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, we have Elazar HaKohen giving us the laws that we have to kasher our vessels and we have to dip our vessels in the mikveh. Meaning that any time you get a vessel that was used by a non-Jew, since the non-Jew used it to cook non-kosher food, then you require to kasher, to remove those absorptions that are in the vessels. And also every time we buy a vessel from a non-Jew, even if it was not used, we require to dip that vessel into the mikveh in order for us to use it. The Ramban asks, why did we receive the law of kashering our vessel only after the war against Midian? We already went to war against Sichon and Oik, and after the war of Sichon and Oik, we conquered their cities and conquered all their properties, meaning that we confiscated all their goods. Amongst those goods, there were also vessels, and yet we don't have any law, and yet after those wars, we don't have a law regarding kashering our vessels. Only after the war of Midian, that is when we receive the law of kashering our vessels. If we are afraid that the non-Jew cooked in those vessels non-kosher food, then we should receive this law after we fought against Sihon and Og, and we took their vessels. Why only after Midian we received the law that we require to purge away from the vessels all the absorptions of non-kosher food that was in the vessels? In a previous shiur, we addressed this question and we gave many answers to this question, but here in this shiur, we are only going to address the answer of the Rambam. The Rambam answers that there is a big difference between the lands of Sihon and Og and the war against Midian, meaning that the lands of Sihon and Og are eventually going to be destined to be given to the tribe of Reuven and Gad and half Manasseh. Therefore, they have certain Kedusha, they have like Kedusha's Eretz Israel, like the holiness of Eretz Israel. And in regards of the words of conquering Eretz Israel, is written in Devarim chapter 6, verse number 11, that you're going to come to the land and you're going to find Uvotim Meleim Kol Tuv, houses that are full of all good, Asheloi Meleisa, that you did not fill, meaning that you are going to come to Israel, you're going to find the houses full of all good which didn't come from you, meaning that you find them there. And the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a, says that this is referring that if you find any food in the houses of the Knani where you are going to conquer, you're allowed to keep that food. And the Gemara goes so far and say that Afilu Kadre de Chazere Ishterele, that even if you find ribs of pig, you could also eat it, meaning that the Torah gives you a permission to eat non-kosher food when you're coming to conquer the lands of Eretz Israel. Therefore, the Ramban says, since Sihon and Og are destined to be part of Eretz Israel, because this is the land that Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh are going to receive instead of the land that they're going to inherit in Eretz Israel, then technically when you fight against Sihon and Og, you are fighting for the inheritance of Eretz Israel, and there you could eat even non-kosher food. Then there is no reason to tell you to kasher the vessels that were cooked non-kosher food in them, because even if the treif, the non-kosher food, is present, you could eat them. Then for sure you could eat the absorption of the non-kosher food. Then there was no need to give the law of kashering your vessels after the war of Sihon and Og. But since Midian was never destined to be Eretz Israel, the land of Midian is a conquering that we did it not in order to receive the land of Eretz Israel. Therefore, in the land of Midian, if we find non-kosher food, we're not allowed to eat it. Therefore, after the war against Midian, we require to kasher our vessels in order to remove the absorption of non-kosher food. Therefore, only after the war of Midian, we received the laws of kashering our vessels, but we did not receive the laws of kashering our vessels after the war of Sihon Ve'Og, because since Sihon Ve'Og was destined to be Eretz Israel, technically they have the law of Eretz Israel, where non-kosher food is permitted to eat. Therefore, we don't have to make a law that you have to kasher your vessels after the war against Sihon Ve'Og, but we require to make this law after the war against Midian. The Chasam Sofer asks on this Ramban that true that the Ramban answers a very good answer in regard of kashering the vessels, meaning that the Ramban says that there's a big difference between kashering your vessels after Sihon Ve'Og, then kashering your vessel after the war of Midian. But the Ramban does not address the second part of the law that Elazar HaKohen gave us. Elazar HaKohen gives us two laws. One, the law of kashering your vessel, which has to do with the non-kosher food. But the other law that Elazar HaKohen gives us is the law of taking your vessel to the mikveh. As the Gemara darshens in Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis 75b, that since it's written in the verse in chapter 31, verse 23, Ach b'meinida ischato, only for the waters of Anida, which are the waters where a woman who had her period has to dip in, which is basically a mikveh, ischato, should be purified in that, which means that those vessels have to be purified in the mikveh. And that applies even to new vessels, even in vessels that was not used previously. Then why didn't we receive this law of taking the vessels to mikveh after Sichon Ve'oik? Why only after Midian we received the law of taking the vessels to the mikveh, which is a separate law from kashering your vessel? I understand the Ramban addressed the kashering of the vessels, but the Ramban failed to address the other part of the law that we learn from what Elazar HaKohen tells us, that we require to take any vessel to the mikveh. Then the question is still, why only after the war of Midian we receive this law that we have to take our vessels to the mikveh? Why didn't we receive this law after the war against Sichon and Oik? The Chasam Sofer answers this question based on what is written in the Yerushalmi in Avodah Zarah, Perik Hei Halacha Tezvav. There the Yerushalmi says that the reason why we take any vessel from a non-Jew to the mikveh is in order to remove that vessel from the impurities of a non-Jew to the holiness of a Jew. And in Sefer Iser Veheter, in the end of Klal Nun Ches, writes down that the reason is that since Hashem chose us in order to be His heritage, and Hashem separated us from those who stray, and Hashem gave us a special holiness, as it's written in Vayikra chapter 20, verse number 26, that V'yisem li kedoshim, you should be holy to me, ki kodosh ani Hashem, because I, Hashem, am holy. V'avdil eschem minu amim liyosli, and I separated you from the nations to be for me. That means that we have a special holiness, and since we have a special holiness, then we cannot use those vessels that were owned by a non-Jew. We are required to take those vessels and bring it up to a special holiness. Therefore, we require to bring those vessels into the mikveh. And furthermore, the Chasam Sofer explains that the impurities that the vessels of a non-Jew gets comes from the nation's ministering angel in heaven, meaning that every nation of the world has a sar, has a ministering angel in heaven which protects the interest of that nation, besides the Jewish people, where Hashem himself is our controller and he doesn't do it through an angel. Therefore, he explains that the reason why Hashem wants us to purify our vessels is to remove the vessel from the auspices of that ministering angel and put it into the holiness of Hashem, as Hashem is holy. Therefore, we require to take the vessels from a non-Jew into the mikveh. According to this idea, the Chasam Sofer explains, now we understand why after Sichon Ve'oik we didn't require to take the vessels into the mikveh, and only after Midian we require to take the vessels into the mikveh. And the Chasam Sofer explains that this is technically the same idea that the Rambam brings, meaning that in regards to the lands that are destined to be Eretz Israel, we know in Parshas Shlach, by the sin of the spies, where the spies reported evil reports on Eretz Israel, and they said that the people of Eretz Israel are too strong, that we won't be able to conquer the land. There, in chapter 14, verse number 9, we see that Kalev ben Yefuna, Yeshua ben Nun, say that if Hashem wants us to bring us to the land, He will bring us. And then they say, Ach b'Hashem al timroidi, please do not rebel against Hashem. Va'atem al tiru esam ha'oretz, do not fear the people of the land. Ki lachmeinu hem, because they are our bread. Sor tzilom me'aleim, their protection or their shadow has been removed from them. V'Hashem itonu, in Hashem is with us. Al tirom, do not fear them. And Meforshim ask, what is the meaning of the word sor tzilom me'aleim, that their protection has departed from them, or their shadow has departed from them? And the Ramban explains there that Hashem already has removed their sar, their ministering angel, and now Hashem is the one controlling those lands, which means that you don't have to fear those people, because the ministering angel of those people is already destroyed, and now those lands are already under Hashem. And this is 38 years before the Jewish people want to come into Eretz Israel, and this is also 38 years before we fight against Sichon Ve'oik. That means that all the vessels that came into possession from that time until the Jewish people conquer them is already in the auspices of Hashem, because their ministering angel was already removed. Then if it is in the auspices of Hashem, it does not need to go to the mikveh to in order to elevate its purity to a higher level, because it's under already Hashem. Therefore, the vessels that are in Eretz Yisrael and the vessels that are in Sichem Ve'oik, which is destined to be Eretz Yisrael, don't need to go to the mikveh in order to remove from the ministering angel to come under the auspices and the holiness of Hashem, because they already are under the holiness of Hashem, since they already had their ministering angels removed by the time of the spies, which is 38 years before. Therefore, after the war of Sichem Ve'oik, we did not need even to take the vessels to the mikveh, because they are already under the auspices of Hashem, and we don't need to elevate them from the auspices of a ministering angel to the auspices of Hashem. But the vessels of Midian, since Midian has a ministering angel, and the ministering angel of Midian was just defeated now, that means that the vessels that were created, that came into being under the ministering angel of Midian, needs to be elevated now to a higher level of Kedusha, to a higher level of holiness. Therefore, they need to go to the mikveh in order to bring a special holiness to them. And therefore, after Midian, we receive the law that we have to take those vessels into the mikveh. According to this, the Chasam Sofer says that we understand now also why the people were surprised that nobody died in this war. Meaning that since the Milchemes Sichem Ve'oik was destined to be Eretz Yisrael, that nobody died in the war of Sichem Ve'oik is no big deal. Because since the ministering angel is already defeated, then you're already killing a person that has been killed. So there's no big deal that nobody died in the war, because since they already technically under the auspices of Hashem, Hashem could destroy them all without having anybody hurt. But here, against Midian, they understood that Midian has a ministering angel, and still nobody died in the war, therefore they were grateful that nobody died in the war. And according to this, says Sefer Shemen Roish, we also understand now why they didn't bring any offering to Hashem after those wars. Because after those wars, there was no big deal that nobody got killed, because since the ministering angel was already destroyed, as the verse writes down, Sor Tzilam, that their protection was already removed, then therefore there is no big deal that nobody died, and therefore they don't have to bring an offering to Hashem. But in the war of Midian, they realized that they have Asar, therefore they decided that they have to bring an offering to Hashem. But after Sichem Ve'oik, even though nobody died, there is no need to bring an offering to Hashem, because that automatically, since they don't have a ministering angel, then they don't have to bring an offering to Hashem, because it's no big deal. They're only killing a person that has already been killed. Therefore, also, Sefer Shemen Roish says that according to this, we also could answer a very strong question that Sefer Shemen Roish has. Meaning, Sefer Shemen Roish is bothered why the people came to war, come to Moshe Rabbeinu, to say that they want to bring an offering of Hashem, because nobody died, only after they hear the laws of kashering and the laws of taking the vessel to the mikveh from Elazar HaKohen. Technically, as soon as you come back from war, you start counting the men that you have, and then you should say that nobody is missing, we want to bring offering to Hashem. But yet, the people that went to war don't do this, they only come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say that we want to bring an offering to Hashem after they hear from Elazar HaKohen the laws of kashering and the laws of taking the vessels to the mikveh. Therefore, Sefer Shemen Roish explains that originally the people who went to war, when they saw that nobody died, they didn't think it's such a great miracle, because nobody died in the Milchemes of Sichem Ve'oik, then automatically nobody should die in the Milchemes Midian, because they thought that in the same way that Hashem removed the ministering angel from Sichem Ve'oik, Hashem also removed the ministering angel from Midian. But once they saw that Elazar HaKohen told them the law that they have to take the vessels to the mikveh, and they were wondering why after Sichon ve'Og we did not have to take it to the mikveh, and why after Midian we have to take it to the mikveh. And they answered like the Chasam Sofer did, meaning that after Sichon ve'Og, since they didn't have a ministering angel, therefore the vessels weren't under the auspices of the ministering angel, they were under Hashem, therefore you don't need to bring the vessels to elevate them, because they're already holy, because they are under the auspices of Hashem. But after Midian, since Midian has a ministering angel, then Midian's vessels come from an impure source. Now, if you want to bring those vessels under the auspices of Hashem, you require to bring those vessels into the mikveh. That means that through the law of taking the vessels to the mikveh, the people that went to war realized that Midian has a ministering angel. If Midian has a ministering angel and nobody died, they realized then it was a great miracle. Therefore, only after they hear the laws of taking the vessels to the mikveh from Elazar HaKohen, they approach Moshe Rabbeinu that they want to bring an offering to Hashem, giving thanksgiving to Hashem for the fact that nobody died during the war. Because up to that point, they didn't think it's a big deal nobody died, because they thought the reason nobody died is because Midian doesn't have a ministering angel, in the same way that Sichon and Og did not have one. But after the laws of taking the vessels to the mikveh, where we received that only after Midian, then they realized that the reason we have to take those vessels to the mikveh is because Midian has a ministering angel. If Midian has a ministering angel, the fact that nobody died, then it's a true miracle, a true chesed from Hashem. Therefore, the people that went to war decided that they're going to bring an offering to Hashem. Sefer Shemeresh continues and says that the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Samach Dalet Omed Aleph 64a translates the pasuk "Veloy nifkat mimene ish," that not a single man is missing, in a different way. There the Gemara says, "Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravo," that after Moshe Rabbeinu saw that these people that went to the army want to bring an offering of Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Shemo chazartem lekul kulchem harishon. Maybe you want to bring an offering because you came back to your original misconduct, meaning that you sinned with the Midianite women in the same way that they sinned previously with the Moabite women. So the people of the army said, lo nifkad mimenu ish, that no single man was missing, meaning that no single man committed the sin. Then Moshe Rabbeinu asked them, if you didn't commit any sin, then why do you want to bring an offering to Hashem? Then the people that went to the army tell them that true, that we did not commit any sin, that we didn't actually physically sin, but nonetheless we had improper thought, therefore we want to bring an offering to Hashem, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the offering to Hashem. And the Gemara there brings the same idea, Tono Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, it was learned in the academy of Rabbi Shmuel, why did the people of that generation need atonement after the war of Midian? Because they feasted their eyes on lewdness, meaning they saw those women when they had to remove the jewelry from them. Therefore, they had improper thoughts. Therefore, they needed to have that atonement. But they didn't do any improper action. And the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, Parsha Dalet, Simen Dalet explains that the people of the army told Moshe Rabbeinu that when they used to come into the house of the Midiani woman, they used to come in only in pairs, and then one of them used to make the woman look down, and the other one used to remove the jewelry. In other words, they made it specifically that they shouldn't look at the women, and also they made it specifically that nobody should come in alone with the Midianite woman in order not to be tempted. And the Medrash continues and says that after Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, he praised them. Also, in the Targum Yonison ben Uziel, in Perek Lamet Aleph Pasuk Nun, brings down in this language, that they said to Moshe Rabbeinu that with all these that we went to remove the jewelry, we were careful not to put our eyes in them, and we didn't look and gaze in one of them, in order for us not to be guilty of having relations with one of them, veloy namus, and we shouldn't die be mesusa de meisen barishio lal madasa, in the death that the evil people will die in the world to come, meaning that they all said that they didn't look and gaze at the women in order not to sin. So we see that the people that went to war were very holy people, and they were able to control themselves from sin. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu praised them. In truth, these two opinions are actually a machloikas in the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Aleph, Omed Aleph, 61a, where there the Rabbanon learn as a simple interpretation that says, Lo nifkad menuish, means that nobody is missing, which means nobody died at war. And Rab Shimon ben Yochai there translates that Ronifkad menuish, that nobody is missing, la'avera, for sin, meaning that nobody actually sinned, like the interpretation of the Gemara that we just mentioned. But Sefer Shemeroish wants to reconcile both opinions and say that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chaim, that both of them truly are really one opinion. Meaning that theoretically it is very hard to say, like the Targum Yonason ben Uziel explains, that nobody gazed at a woman. How is it possible that the leaders of the people that went to the army should come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say that nobody transgressed and nobody looked at any woman? I understand that they could say that they didn't do it, but how can they say that nobody did? We have a rule that's written in Ksubas Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis 13b, that Ein Apotropos Learoyos, that there is no guarantor when it comes to forbidden relations. Meaning that once the opportunity presents to have a forbidden relations and the person is secluded with that woman, then we say that nobody could guarantee if he had anything forbidden. And in our case, specifically when they came into the house to take away their jewelry from those women, then who is to say that nobody gazed at the woman? How can somebody guarantee that nobody gazed at that woman? Sefer Shemeroish answers based on the pasuk that's written in Devarim chapter 23, verse number 15. There the verse says, "Ki Hashem Elokecha misalach bekeref machanecha," because Hashem your God walks amongst your camp, "lehatzilcha, to save you, veloses oivecho lefonecha, and to give your enemies in front of you, v'hoyu machanecha kodosh, and your camp should be holy, velo yire vecha ervas davar, and we should not see a shameful thing, v'shav macharecho, and Hashem will turn away from you." Meaning that the only way that we could be successful at war is if there is no ervas davar, if there is no shameful thing. According to this, Sefer Shemeroch interprets what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people of the army in a different way. Meaning that the people of the army approached Moshe Rabbeinu that they want to bring Korban Hashem, the offering of Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that these people want to bring an offering to Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that people sinned. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu asked them, maybe you went back to your original sin. Then the people of the army said that v'nifkad nimenuish. You see from the fact that no person has died, that nobody sinned. Because if somebody would have sinned, then obviously somebody would have died, because we could only get the protection of Hashem that nobody should die only if nobody sinned. Therefore, the fact that they said "V'nifkad mimenuish," that nobody died, automatically that showed to Moshe Rabbeinu that nobody sinned. So according to this interpretation, both opinions, the opinion of the Rabbanon that it's meant literally that nobody died, and the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, which means that nobody was missing, meaning that nobody sinned, they are both the same opinion, because one is dependent in the other. Then Sefer Shemeroish has a problem with the language of the verse. The verse says that the people approached Moshe Rabbeinu and they said that we counted everybody in the war, v'nifkad mimenuish, and no man was missing. And then they say, v'nakrev es korban Hashem, and you want to bring an offering for Hashem, Ish Hashemotak Tizov, every person who found a vessel of gold, and goes to detail what vessel it was, lechaper al nafshoi seinu, to atone for our soul, lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Which means simply that they want to bring an offering to Hashem to atone for their souls. Then he says that if the interpretation is that they want to bring an offering to Hashem, then it should be written v'nakrev es korban l'Hashem. We will bring an offering to Hashem. But they don't say that. They say v'nakrev will bring the offering Hashem of Hashem. They don't say to Hashem. And then they say that they want to bring an offering to atone for their souls. But in truth, they don't bring anything to atone for their souls. We don't see them bringing any animal offering, any offering that really atones for the soul. They only bring the jewelry. Then what does it mean that they're giving an offering of Hashem to atone for their souls? To answer this question, Sefer Shemeroch brings first a Yerushalmi in Shkolim, Perek Gimel Halacha Hei. There the Yerushalmi says, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonason, B'Torah b'Nevi'im k'sovim, in the Torah and in the prophets and in the writings, Motzinu, we find Shetzorich Odom, Lotzes, Yedei Abriyois, the person is required to fulfill what people think, Kederech Shetzorich Lotzes, Yedei Amokim, in the same way, the person is required to fulfill what Hashem thinks. Meaning, that a person should not think that since I'm doing the right thing in the eyes of Hashem, who cares what people say? The person has to worry what people are thinking of him in the same way that a person has to worry what Hashem is thinking of him. Where do we see that? We see that from this week's parsha that's written in Bamidbar chapter 32, verse number 22, when Moshe Rabbeinu makes the agreement if the Bnei Reuven, Bnei Gad, that they should go to war. Moshe Rabbeinu there says that if you fulfill your part of the agreement and you go in the front in the army of the Jewish people and then you conquer it and then you wait till they divide and then you go back, then v'yisem nikim me'Hashem u'me'Yisrael, then you'll be clean from Hashem and from the Jewish people. It doesn't just say that you'll be clean from Hashem, because that is not enough. You also have to make sure that you are clean in the eyes of the Jewish people. Therefore, we see clearly that whenever we do something, it's not enough that we worry if we are doing the right thing in front of Hashem. We have to make sure that we are doing the right thing also in the eyes of the people. As a side note, Sefer Shemeroch brings the Chasam Sofer in Chosh Mishpat Simen Nun Tes, where there the Chasam Sofer writes down that I thought many times if it's possible to fulfill this verse that you should be clean in the eyes of Hashem and the Jewish people. And the Chasam Sofer continues and says that since it's almost impossible to be clean in the eyes of Hashem and the Jewish people, then this could mean the interpretation of the verse in Keheles chapter 7, verse number 20, where it says, "Ein Adam Tzadik Baris," there is no righteous person in the earth, "Asher Yaseh Toiv," that he'll only do good, "Velo Yechto," and not sin. Which the Chasam Sofer interprets that it's impossible that a person will do good in the eyes of Hashem, that he should also do good in the eyes of the people, and not sin in the eyes of the people. Meaning that it's impossible that you will see a person that will do good completely in the eyes of Hashem, and is not considered a sinner in the eyes of the people. So the Chasam Sofer says it's very hard to maintain that verse that says that you should be pure in the eyes of Hashem and the people. I wanted to answer with this Chasam Sofer a question that I always had on the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamed Dalet Omed Beis, 34b. There we have a famous machloikas between Rabbi Avu and Rabbi Yochanan of what is greater. Rabbi Avu holds that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzadik Gomer. Somebody who sinned and repented is greater than somebody who never sinned. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that a Tzadik Gomer, somebody who's never sinned, is greater than a Baal Tshuva, than somebody who sinned and repented. And it always bothered me because of this verse. Since the verse writes down that it is impossible to have a righteous person in the world that hasn't sinned, then what is Rabbi Yochanan talking about? There is no such a thing as Tzadik Gomer. Everybody sinned. But according to what the Chasam Sofer explains now, we could say that really it could be a Tzadik Gomer. You could be a completely righteous person that has not sinned. But nonetheless, people look at you and people always suspect you of sinning. Therefore, According to this Chasam Sofer, we could see that there is really such a thing as Tzadik Gomor, that a person hasn't actually done any sin and is a completely righteous person. But the verse means to say that people will think that he sinned, but he by himself is really a Tzadik Gomor. But going back to our topic, according to this interpretation, Sefer Shemeroish interprets the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Samach Dalet Omed Alef that we mentioned previously, that the people came to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked to bring an offering, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe you sinned. Then they answered to Moshe Rabbeinu, Im mide avera yatzano, if we went out from sin, mide hirur lo yatzano, that we did not go out of thought. And we interpreted that they said that true, they didn't physically sin, but they had bad thoughts on the women. And yet we see the Targum Yonison Ben Uziel says that they didn't even bother looking at the women because they were totally, completely righteous. Therefore, Sefer Shemeroi says that when it says that midehirur lo yatzanu, that we didn't come out of thought, it doesn't mean they didn't come out of their own thought, that they had thought of sin. It means that people looking at us will think that we sin. True that we are saved from sin, we didn't do anything wrong. But people will look at us, they will be maharer, they'll think, oh, they took all this jewelry from the women, from the private parts of the women, then clearly they looked at the women and they had intention to sin. Therefore, the people that came out of the army wanted to fulfill the obligation of Yisev Nekim Me'ashem Im Yisrael, that they should be clean from Hashem and from the Jewish people. Therefore, they decided that they are going to donate all the jewelry that they got to the temple, so that won't be a reminder for people that they did something wrong. So since people aren't going to see the jewelry in their hands, then people won't think that they did anything wrong. Therefore, they'll be clean in the eyes of Hashem and the Jewish people. Then Sefer Shemeroish says that this idea that you should be clean in the eyes of Hashem and the Jewish people, this is actually what is called Korban Hashem, the offering of Hashem. And Sefer Shemeroish interprets that based on the famous Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samach Amud Beis 60b. There the Gemara says, Rab Shimon Bar Pazi Rami, Rab Shimon Bar Pazi asks a question. It is written first in Bereshis chapter 1, verse number 16, Vayas Elohim, that Hashem made, Eshnei Ameoirois Agedolim. Hashem made the two great luminaries. And right afterwards, it is written, Esamor Agadol Lemem Shelas Bayoim, that the greater luminary to rule over the day, Vesamora Koton, and the smaller luminary, Lememsheles Alaylo, to rule over the night, Vesakoychovim, and the stars. Then he has a contradiction. First it says that there is going to be two great luminaries, and then it says that there is going to be a greater luminary. Therefore the Gemara says that the story is that originally Hashem made two great luminaries, the sun and the moon were the same size, but the moon came in front of Hashem and said, how is it possible that two kings should use the same crown, meaning the light is the crown, and how is it possible that the same crown should be for both kings? Two luminaries should have the same light. Therefore Hashem tells the moon, go and diminish yourself. So the moon comes in front of Hashem and argues, Hashem, just because I said a correct thing, therefore I must diminish myself. Meaning, why should I suffer because of that? So Hashem tells her, go rule by day and by night. Meaning, you could see the moon by day and night. That's why we look up and sometimes and we see also the moon during the day. But the moon complained to Hashem, what good is it, the moon during the day? Meaning, the light of the moon during the day doesn't help much. It's like a candle in the middle of a daylight where you can't see the light of the candle. Meaning, the moon wasn't consoled by that idea, since it was insignificant. Therefore Hashem said that, don't worry, the Jewish people are going to count by the moon the days and the years, meaning that we're going to follow a lunar calendar. The moon still was not consoled, and the moon said to Hashem that the Jewish people are also going to count by the solar calendar, because we require to have the solar calendar in order to figure out the seasons, because we know that Pesach has to fall in the spring, and if we see that Pesach is going to fall in a later time, then we add extra month to Adar. But nonetheless, we see that the Jewish people count the holidays also by the solar calendar, because they require to have the right season for the holidays, specifically Pesach and Sukkot. Then the moon argued with Hashem that the Jewish people count also by the sun. So Hashem said, don't worry, the righteous people are going to be called in your name. Meaning, they are going to be called small. That Yaakov is going to be called Yaakov HaKotan, Shmuel HaKotan, and David HaKotan. So all these great righteous people are going to be called in your name. Nonetheless, Hashem saw that the moon still could not understand and was not consoled by it. So Hashem says, bring me an offering for the fact that I diminished the moon. And the Gemara says that this is what Rav Shimon ben Lakish says. Why in the offering of Rosh Chodesh in Bamidbar chapter 28, verse number 15, there it's written that you have to bring a Rosh Chodesh, a chatos, l'Hashem, a sin offering to Hashem. What sin did Hashem do? The Gemara says that Hashem said, let this offering be atonement for me diminishing the moon. And therefore it's written that chatos l'Hashem, it's a sin offering for Hashem. Nonetheless, we see from here that even though Hashem has a good reason why he diminished the moon, but since he cannot explain and people looking at it will think that Hashem did something wrong, therefore Hashem tells the Jewish people to bring a sin offering for him diminishing the moon for his sake. So comes out that Korban Hashem, the offering of Hashem, is an offering where people looking at it may think that it is done in a wrong way. Therefore, Hashem wants to have an atonement for it. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, that this is exactly what the people coming back from the war wanted to do. That they got this jewelry. And because they got this jewelry, people suspected them of committing immorality. And even though they know by themselves that they didn't do anything wrong, but nonetheless, from the fact that Hashem brought an offering on Rosh Chodesh, they realize that even when you don't do anything wrong, you have to make sure that people don't suspect you. Therefore, they decided that they are going to donate the gold that they got from this woman to the temple, and therefore they called it Korban Hashem, that we're doing it in the same way that Hashem brings his Korban. Meaning, in the same way that Hashem brings his Korban on Rosh Chodesh, in order to fulfill the idea of Yisem Nekim Hashem Israel, that you have to be pure from Hashem and from Israel, meaning from people looking at it, have to make sure that you're doing everything okay, and if not, you are required to have an atonement. So too, we are donating this gold to the temple because we want to make sure that we are Nekim Hashem, which we know that we didn't sin, but also Israel, that people shouldn't think that we did something wrong. And Hashem Yisbrok should help that in the same way that Hashem protected us in the war against Midian, Hashem should protect us all the days of our life, and we should merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Bimheiro Beyomeinu, Amen.